On August 21st, weather permitting, most North Americans will see at least a partial solar eclipse, and people in 14 states, a 70-mile swath beginning in Oregon and ending in South Carolina, will see what is known as the totality, which means the sun will be entirely obscured by the moon. The event begins on 9:04 and 26 seconds a.m. Pacific time near Salem, Oregon, and will end near Charleston, South Carolina at 4:11 and 28 seconds p.m. Eastern time. And yes, the schedule and path of the eclipse is known with that much precision, to the inch and to the second. Well, how? Well, for answers, we turn to Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine. He will be watching the eclipse from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. But right now, he's in the studio with us. Hi there, Kelly.
Hey, Megan.
Okay, so I've got this map of the total solar eclipse in front of me here, and I see that swath. How do we know that at 11:40 Mountain Time, it's going to be where it's going to be?
You know, there's a giant clock going on in our solar system. The moon goes around the Earth goes around the sun. We know those periods very precisely. And eclipses of the sun can be predicted thousands of years in advance. In fact, we've known about this eclipse, and it's been on all of our calendars for decades now. This is the first total solar eclipse to cross the continental U.S. since 1979, first one to go coast to coast since 1918. That's 99 years ago. And yes, we do know it with that much precision.
Well, I mean, so the sun does what it does. The moon goes around the Earth. I get it. But, you know, some people are saying, well, when they look at the maps, it says it gives approximate times. Now, does that have to do more with where you are in the path of the eclipse? Or is there shouldn't really be any uncertainty, right?
There really isn't any uncertainty. I am going to be at a place in Hopkinsville where I can predict when the sun will disappear behind the moon and when it will reappear to the nearest tenth of a second. And the reason for that has to do with, you know, it's cliche, but it's space age precision. We now know the motions of the planets far better than we used to be able to have that. Because if you think about it, you look up at the moon in the sky and you say, well, like, where is it going to be? How fast is it moving? Now we have spacecraft that are around and on the moon. Mm-hmm. And the precision of our radio transmitters and tracking is far more accurate than just watching the moon cross the sky.
It's amazing to me, that precision. But also our understanding of just simply like the shape of the moon has changed?
Correct. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, when the basic eclipse predictions assumed that the moon was a perfect circle in the sky and that the sun was a perfect circle in the sky. And so the computations were done on that basis. But we know, because our spacecraft have shown us with incredible detail the highs and lows of the moon, we've mapped every mile of that place, that the moon is an irregular body. And especially along the edge, along the outer rim during an eclipse, there are going to be mountains and valleys. And so depending on where the sun disappears from where you are, maybe it disappears behind a mountain, in which case the eclipse starts early for you. Or maybe it disappears in a valley on the moon and it lingers a little bit longer, and so the eclipse is going to start late for you. We can now predict all of that well in advance.
Okay, so we've got the technology to do that and the passionate amateur astronomers to help us out too. But come on, we've been predicting, as you said, eclipses for thousands of years. How did they do it, I don't know, 3,000 years ago?
It turns out, here's your word for the day, Saros, S-A-R-O-S, that the geometry of the sun and Earth and moon repeats with a period of 18 years, 11 days, and 8 hours, almost exactly. So on August 10th in 1999, there was a total eclipse of the sun. It had almost exactly the same path, almost exactly the same duration, and the same latitudes on the Earth. But because of that 8-hour difference, it didn't take place over the U.S., it took place over Europe.
Uh-huh.
And so that Saros, that notion of that periodicity, that long-range periodicity, has been known since ancient times. And if you think about it, 3 Saros cycles, the 8 hours add up. And so every 54 years, a total eclipse of the sun happens about in the same place as it did 50 years before. The Babylonians and Assyrians knew this as early as 200 or 300 BC. And so they've been able to tell us that eclipses were coming for that long. It's remarkable that they had the wherewithal to figure that out.
Okay, so in honor of astronomers, ancient and modern, I have got my eclipse glasses here. I'm going to put them on, actually. They're really good. I can't see anything now. But, I mean, I have been reading that there are lots of fake eclipse glasses out on the market.
Yes,
how can
are.
You be sure you get something that's going to protect your eyes?
So up until about 2 weeks ago, we were saying, look for something called an ISO certification, which would be stamped on the back. But guess what? That can be counterfeited too. If you go to the website of the American Astronomical Society, aas.org, there is a list of approved not just vendors, manufacturers, but the vendors, the places to go where you can be assured that you're getting quality glasses. And they're widely available. So I guess my suggestion is don't order them over the internet. Go to a brick and mortar store.
Okay. I actually can't even see my script right now, so I'm going to put these at the bottom of my nose. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. I'm getting ready to pack and be fun for all. I hope everyone has clear skies. And again, if they want more information, skyandtelescope.com is the place to go.
Kelly Beattie is senior editor at Sky and Telescope. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Always a pleasure, Magda.
Here and Now is a production. I really can't see, Jeremy. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. No glasses right now for me. It's Here and Now.